Welcome to Metamorphosis with Dr. Tassel Faith. In the next hour, you will embark on a journey to awaken your inner identity, remember the truth of who you are, and come home to yourself. Enter your transformative chrysalis, experience the fundamental change you need, and emerge a leader for your own life and for the planet. Transform your world naturally and supernaturally. Metamorphosis begins now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm Dr. Tassel Faith, your priestess of metamorphosis, and you're listening to the Metamorphosis Show. And please stay with us for the next hour. We have, I could almost faint, the most amazing Serena Dyer here as our honored guest. I'm just going to give a quick intro. Serena Dyer is the sixth of Wayne and Marceline Dyer's eight children. She attended the University of Miami, where she received bachelor's and master's degrees, and she now lives in South Florida with her husband and three children. Serena co-authored her first book with her father, Dr. Wayne Dyer, in 2014, and her most recent book, The Knowing, was co-authored with her sister, Sage, and released in May 2021. So let's welcome the amazing Serena Dyer. I'm so honored that you're here.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. I love the priestess. I love it. I was a religion major, so it's right up my alley.
Oh, I love that. Yes. I believe we're all priestesses, and we're really, it feels like, in a period of reclaiming that for ourselves and the planet.
Yeah, and the planet needs it. It needs more divine feminine energy, that's for sure.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, totally. Of course, I want to talk about anything that is near and dear on your heart. Is there anything that you would like to start off talking about?
Oh, I'm happy to talk about anything. I'm kind of an open book. I never have any topics that are off limits. I always say anybody can ask me anything and I'll give the most honest as I can answer. Sage and I, as you said, we co-authored our book, The Knowing, and that was really a process of getting through and understanding so many like difficulties that had happened in my life and in her life as well. But because we both wrote about our personal experiences and some of our shared experiences, I can really only talk about my personal experiences and the ones that we shared. She has her own as well that are in the book. But it kind of came about after a period of like insane one thing after the other, crises, deaths, loss, financial struggles, weight struggles, becoming a new mom, having another baby right after. And obviously I talk about all those things in the book and I can go into more detail about all of them, but basically it kind of came out of this place of feeling like for the first time in my life, I really needed to understand what my dad had been spending his whole life teaching. And for the first time of really needing his message, his guidance, his work, he was not here any longer to give it. So I really had to kind of go within and find it within myself, which I think was all part of the perfect divine timing of it. The book and the whole experience of, you know, talking and sharing about it now at this point really has just come from a place of actually having to find that sense of inner peace, that sense of self-love, that sense of worth within myself. And it was a long time coming. And so that's kind of what I wrote all about. And so I'm happy to talk about that or the book or anything that you want to talk about. I'm game.
Oh yeah. I love it. I'm getting chills as you're speaking. I've been on a very similar journey. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are on the same journey. So it's so beautiful for you to share your journey and your father's teachings and your own teachings. And so it's just beautiful. Maybe I could just start by asking, what was your practice of going within to nurture your self-love and your inner peace and your self-worth? How did you actually do that?
So let me just give a little bit of background of kind of what was going on and then I can explain how I did that. But so I gave birth to my first child in March of 2015. And in May of 2015, my husband was arrested, indicted. All of our assets were frozen and he was charged with all of these various counts of sort of like white collar crime relating to the running of his business. So you know, I had just had a baby and I was really kind of struggling with, probably in hindsight, postpartum, but I didn't realize at the time that that's what it was. And then boom, my husband's arrested, our finances are gone. And now I'm facing this possibility of raising a child without him. And I had a stepson at the time as well, who was a teenager. And so like two major life-changing events took place in a very short period of time. But then in August of that year, my dad passed away. So it was like within 6 months, everything had changed, because not only had my dad been a source of comfort for me, but he was somebody that I talked to on the phone or I was with when I was with him. He lived in Maui. I live in Florida. But he was somebody that could offer me a sense of calm and understanding and really kind of remind me. I think he was, sorry, that I think my computer just made a funny noise. He was a really different sort of parent, in the sense that it wasn't like he would give advice like, you know, just you'll get through it and sort of offer these platitudes. It was much more like, trust that this is in order for your highest good. Trust that this is something that you signed up to experience before you even incarnated in this lifetime. Trust that your soul comes here for two things: to grow and to expand. And in order to grow and expand, we must be challenged. And in the times that we're challenged, and the times that we have no say over what is happening in our lives, that is when we must find the meaning in the struggle or in the suffering. And that is how you become not only transformed by it, but free of it. And he would say things like, you know, you can walk down the same road every day and you'll fall into the same hole, and you'll look around and you'll say, how am I here? And this is everybody else's fault. They shouldn't have put the hole in the road, or why is there no ladder for me to get out? And he said, but over time, self-actualized people will not only not walk down that road and fall in the hole anymore, but they'll pick a new road, knowing that all along they had the freedom to do that, to make that change for themselves. So, you know, not having him to give me this sort of like pep talks that people have paid money to hear, and I was lucky enough to just be able to call him or go see him. It was like I was really struggling, and I was really finding myself in this massive depression and fear. It was so much fear, fear over what might happen with my husband's case. And then right after my dad died, I ended up getting pregnant again. I didn't think that I could. I didn't even remember that my husband and I hooked up one night. Baby should have been named Margarita, because it was a margarita night of right after my dad had died. And anyway, so then here I was now going to have two babies and have this fear. And my husband was adamant he go to trial. He wanted to clear his name. He wanted to prove his innocence, even though Miami has the highest conviction rate in the country at 96%. He was still adamant. So anyway, he did. He went to trial, and the jury acquitted him of all of the counts except one. So he was guilty of one count and of a mail fraud. And he was now going to be sentenced to prison. Mm-hmm. And right before the sentencing, my stepson, who my husband had raised his entire life as a single father, had full custody, everything. My stepson went at 19 years old, went to go see his mom, his biological mom in North Carolina, and visit her up there for the first time. And while he was up there, he died. And so then I have my stepson died. So then it's like, I've lost my father. Now I've lost my stepson, and I'm going to lose my husband to a certain number of years. I don't know how many, to prison. And within a month of my stepson passing away, then my husband was sentenced to 7 years at a minimum security sort of prison camp. And he had 6 weeks to get ready to go. And in that 6 weeks, it was like just me learning how to do everything that he would have normally done around the house, like turn off the gas line for the grill, change a tire, repair things, fix things, build things. It was just things that my husband would have done, that, and it was really just like a crash course in becoming the mother and father to our two daughters, and facing, I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know how I'm going to raise two babies by myself. And anyway, he and I leave to take him to this prison camp in Pensacola, and we fly to New Orleans on a round trip and him on a one way. He said goodbye to our daughters that morning, which I don't even remember. I was in such a blackout really of just emotion. And we're in New Orleans and we're getting ready to drive to Pensacola where he has to be for the next day. And as my stepson's name is Mason, and we are getting lost in New Orleans, and because we're both not focusing, we're not thinking, we're not understanding, we're just in like a, you know, a extreme state of shock, I think, that we're really at this place. Yeah. And anyway, so at one point he said, let's just park the car. Let's get out. Let's walk to find something to eat here in New Orleans, and then we'll head to Pensacola. So we did. We pulled into this parking area, the Harris Casino in New Orleans. And as I'm opening my car door in the rental car on the passenger side, a car pulls in next to me so close and so fast, I jumped back because I thought it was going to hit me. Yeah. And I had been getting signs from my dad. So this was 2 years after my dad passed away at this point. I had been getting signs from my dad. I had been able to communicate with him through mediums. And I even had recently had, because my stepson had passed away just a few, 3 months before this, I had started getting signs from him. And so I knew that they were both watching over us. Yeah. And in that moment that this car almost hits me, I look at the license plate on the front of the car, and my jaw just like drops. And I look at my husband and I say, you've got to see this license plate. This is crazy. And he says, hold on 1 second. I'm getting a call from my attorney. So I look at him and I see every range of emotion go over his whole face, chills everywhere. And he actually drops to his knees. Oh. And I looked at him and I said, what's going on? I think somebody else has died now, because yeah. We got two phone calls, one about my dad and one about Mason. And I'm thinking somebody else died.
Yeah.
And I run over to him and he says, the prosecution admitted today, just now, in a motion they filed, they admitted that they lied and withheld evidence that would have exonerated him. They lied and withheld evidence during the trial, and they just admitted it now. And the judge has reversed the sentencing. I'm not going in. I'm going home.
Oh my God.
And I said, Matt, I mean, first I was like, I couldn't even understand. I couldn't even fathom what I was hearing. And then I said, Matt, you have to come see what almost touched me, hit me in the moment you got that call. And we walked over and I took a picture of it so that I would save it, because I knew my family wouldn't believe me. And on the front of that license plate, at the moment my husband got the call, this license plate pulls up, and it's the license plate itself says danger. And the frame says, Mason, let there be light. And my husband's son's name is Mason.
Oh my God.
And I said to him, Mason was up there pulling some strings, doing what he could. I said, I mean, at the moment you get that call, this miraculous, truly 11th hour miracle.
Yes.
A license plate pulls up and it's danger, and it's surrounded by Mason, let there be light. And I felt as though, so to answer your question, I hadn't really started finding that sense of inner peace. And I hadn't really started having that sense of worth or self-love. And it wasn't really until some of the fear, that fear of losing my husband, since I had just lost two other men in my life, yeah. was so great that I couldn't really go within and find that place, yeah. that like inner Tahiti. And I kept thinking to myself that once all of this is over, once the legal stuff is over and we can go back to being a family, this was what I was thinking before Mason died, and we can go back to being a family and we can have finances again, and my husband can work again. And yeah. And once this is over, then I will have peace. Yeah. But I understood that I had been looking at it all wrong.
Yeah.
I had been thinking that once everything fell into place, yeah. then I could have peace in my life. And I really started to understand through the process of reading and writing, like writing for myself and then reading as many of my dad's books, and Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning and The Surrender Experiment. I started reading so many different books that I really hadn't really read before. I hadn't even really read my dad's books before he died. And I started reading these things, and it just struck such a chord because I understood that the truth is that once I find peace within myself, and it's always there, no matter how much crap or chaos or stress is going on or fear is going on, there is a sense, there is a place, a small place at that time, bigger, much bigger now, but there is a place within all of us that is a place of complete peace. And I finally understood that once I had peace in my life, in my heart, in my body, then the pieces of my life would fall into place. That I had to become like what it was that I was seeking, or what I was seeking could never find me. That in order to have peace, I had to find it within here first, and I had to cultivate that. And I mean, there's a famous line from Moby Dick, and Herman Melville wrote, "For as this appalling ocean surrounds the verdant land, so in the soul of man lies one insular Tahiti, full of peace and joy, but surrounded by the horrors of the half-lived life." And what that spoke to me and what it said to me was that in the soul of every man lies an insular Tahiti. And that place is full of peace and joy. But if you do not go there, you will end up having lived a half-lived life. That you will end up living a life of striving and never arriving. You will end up living a life of chasing, of fighting. Instead of going against the current, you can always go with it. Mm-hmm. You can always trust that you are being guided, and that no matter what crap comes up in your life, and I had a lot of it in a very short period of time, and it was not something that I just understood immediately, and it wasn't something that like just a little bit of meditating brought me to. It was something that struggle and fighting and fear and terror and anxiety brought me to, was to this place of, I know this is not what I'm meant to be living. I know I'm not meant to be living a life of so much fear. Mm-hmm. And if I can get to a place where I can really believe that all of this stuff that I was thinking is bad, mm-hmm. if I can get to a place where all of these bad things that have happened are no longer viewed by me as bad, but instead I can choose to see them as rungs on the ladder. And as Rumi said, there's a ladder placed before each of us at our birth. I can view each of these things, these losses, these fears, these scarcity mentality, this grief, I can view all of this as a rung on the ladder that I must climb myself to get to that place of God consciousness. Yeah. But that these are not things that were bad. They are rungs that are opportunities to become closer to God. Yes. And they are not here because I am bad. I did not attract them because I am bad. This is not karma because I am bad. These are stepping stones. And I don't have to grow. I don't have to view them as stepping stones. I don't have to view them as opportunities to become closer to God. I can view them as things to keep me stuck, and things to keep me a victim, and things to keep me believing that, you know, the universe is one that gives favors to some and not to others, and that, you know, none of this is my fault, and that this is everybody else's doing. And I can blame everybody and everything, and I can stay stuck, or I can choose the opposite. There's no right or wrong. It's what you decide for yourself. But I decided for myself that I couldn't live that. I couldn't live this fear and this anxiety. And I knew that in order to rid myself of that, I had to change the way I was looking at everything that had happened in my life. And I had to start understanding that if my dad was right, and I believe that he was, that I signed up to experience these things because before I was born, I must have said, God, I want to come here and I want to grow, and I want to grow a lot in a really short period of time. Yes. So give me what you need to give me so that I can be kept on my path of becoming better, kinder, more full of love, more full of forgiveness than I ever would have been had I not gone through these experiences.
Yes.
And ultimately, that's what our soul comes here to do, is to grow. And mine did, because I chose to not allow myself to become the victim of my circumstances, but I allowed myself to become transformed into something better because of them. And I believe that that's the choice. And so I don't have that was a really long answer. I don't have a step-by-step tool or guide that I did in order to find that place, because it wasn't quick and it wasn't painless and it wasn't pretty. It was a lot of, at times, drinking way too much. It was just trying to numb myself. At other times, it was eating too much or not eating anything at all. At other times, it was not wanting to get out of bed. At other times, it was, you know, a false sense of strength. Like, okay, I got this. I'm going to make this list and I'm going to do these tasks. But ultimately, really what it came down to was that I had to decide that I wanted something better for myself, and that I was not going to allow myself to become stuck because of the things that happened in my life. I was going to become better because of them.
Amazing. What an amazing path you have been on, dearest Serena, and what an amazing orientation you chose to take. And I want to get into some more of the amazing details of it. We're just going to take a quick break.
Oh, sorry.
No. We're perfect. We're just going to take a quick break and we will come back again with the amazing Serena Dyer and her amazing life path and all the teachings she has to share with us.
Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara company. I've been using the Volara company equipment, the air machines, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Oh, self-care can be so much fun. And it's not just about bubble baths, but instead about prioritizing the wholeness of who you are without it taking a lot of time out of your day. I'm Claudia Sam, your soul connection coach, host of the Be Happy Now show. I invite you to put yourself at the top of the to-do list without guilt. Join me in the Soul Connector Circle community. Get daily pocket coaching and support to stay on track. Go to soulconnectorcircle.com and use the discount code RADIO.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365dailyhustle.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on transformationtalkradio.com. What did you say?
Your inspiration all day on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Metamorphosis Show. I'm Dr. Tassel Faith, and I'm just so honored and privileged to be here with our amazing guest, Serena Dyer. And before we continue, I just wanted to make sure that everyone had the opportunity to connect with Serena or your book. Is there a website or anything to share?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook and Instagram. Facebook is, I think it's just Serena Dyer. Instagram is Serena Dyer Pisoni. And then on our book, it's called The Knowing, 11 Lessons to Understand the Quiet Urges of Your Soul. And that's where all books are sold. So check it out. My sister and I recorded the audio ourselves as well. And it's funny because somebody had left a review on one of those audio apps that I was like checking when the book first came out. I was like, what do people think? And I don't check it anymore. So somebody had commented like, oh, I couldn't stand listening to the audio because Serena was so breathy and sounded out of breath the whole time. And I think, so my sister was like 9 months pregnant when we recorded this and she was very breathy. Oh. But I think that they thought that was me, that we were like reading each other. Cause I spoke as I said, like, and Serena said, so it's weird. It sounds like I'm speaking in third person. And I was like, Sage, everybody thinks that was me that was out of breath. That was you. You were the one that was like, you know, this pregnant and they're like having to take all these breaks. And she was like, I'm glad everybody thinks it's you. So yeah, it's wherever books are found. I'm on all social media and my website's under construction, but normally it's serenadyer.com. But right now you'll see a landing page, but it'll be back soon.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that contact information and that very, you know, sibling story about even no matter how, you know, conscious we become, we still have these things with our siblings.
Right. Well, that is, exactly. That, we have to push each other's buttons.
Yes. Yes. That is awesome. Yeah. Our siblings are really our first teachers, well, along with our parents, but to help us, you know, provide catalyst and help us grow. So I just wanted to recap what you just so beautifully shared about some just really, I might call them initiations, just incredible challenges you went through in a very short amount of time, and then how you made sense of it and how you see them, as your father said, that we are here to grow and expand and to not see ourselves as victims, but if we can even, I my human has a hard time saying this sometimes, but to have gratitude for these challenges, initiations that we go through. And then to me, this teaching of focusing on who we are becoming, mm-hmm. rather than, okay, what are the exact external details of my life? And maybe they're not ideal to my human, but who am I becoming through that? And right. You spoke so much about how you just grew in so many ways, your compassion, your forgiveness, your ability to surrender and the unconditional love. And it really is amazing who we become through these experiences and, right. and letting go of the possibility of being bitter about it and, you know, seeing ourselves as, oh, how could this happen to me? But going the other route.
Yeah. And let me just say that one of the things that stuck with me is was Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, which should be required reading for every person in the world. But he survived concentration camps as a psychiatrist. He lost his family, his wife, everybody. And he wrote this incredibly beautiful book about what he understood about the human spirit from his experience in these concentration camps. And one of the things that he wrote about that I think kind of was like, just an aha moment for me where I felt something shift inside of me. And I'm going to be kind of butchering his words here a little bit because I don't have it memorized exactly. But he essentially said that when you find yourself in a position or a place where the conditions of your life are outside of your control, meaning you cannot change them.
Yeah.
So for him, it was in a concentration camp. He couldn't change that. You have one freedom, the most powerful freedom, even if all of your other freedoms have been deprived of you as they were him in this hell on earth place called Auschwitz that he found himself. Yeah. He said, all of us have one freedom, the final freedom, the most powerful freedom. And that is that we have within ourselves the ability to choose how we respond in the face of these impossible circumstances.
Yeah.
And even if your circumstances are not impossible, and let me just be clear, I'm not comparing my experiences to his in Auschwitz. They're obviously nothing even on the same, you know, continent. However, you don't have to have your struggle, your suffering, your pain, your difficulty doesn't have to be enormous. It doesn't have to be the death of a family member. It doesn't have to be the loss of all of your freedoms. It can be the loss of a job. It could be the loss of a pet. It could be feeling insecure or unsure of your place in the world. So there's no like qualifying or quantifying your inner feeling. It's real. It's there. It's just as valid as mine or as Viktor Frankl's, because it's there for you. And I really strongly believe that what he said just opened my eyes in a way when I read that, which was that, you know, so many of the things that had happened in my life or that were happening were things that I couldn't change, and they were outside of my control. But I did have, and we all always have the freedom to choose how we respond.
Yes.
And I didn't want to respond. I grew so much. I just want to be clear. I shrunk so much before I grew so much. I really retreated and struggled and withdrew and was depressed. But over time, I understood what he meant so clearly, that I could choose how to respond. And that was where my own destiny lies, is that in the choosing of who I become in the face of anything. And that if you believe that we live in a universe of, which we do, of energy and of the law of attraction. You know, my dad used to always say, the secret got it wrong. You don't get what you want. You get what you are. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to become more full of, if you want to have a life with more love, with more abundance, with more kindness, with more healing, you become that. And that is how you align with it. You don't just sit on the couch and say, like, I'm going to eat bonbons, but I'm going to manifest a six pack of abs. Right. It's like you have to have the intention and the desire, but then you also have to do the work to become it. And so for me, I really understood that I had become so small. I had become so afraid. Mm-hmm. I had become so withdrawn. And I just didn't want to become that any longer. I wanted to become more beautiful. And that was what Viktor Frankl was saying, was that you can, in spite of whatever you're facing. And for him, it was, you know, horrible, horrible people doing horrible, horrible things. And he understood that you could still, the power that you have as an individual is to maintain your humanity, is to maintain your kindness, your love, your compassion, and to do it for everyone and to do it for yourself. So that was sort of like kind of what I had to really understand. And I think that's something that we all have to understand, is that you have that power to respond. And that is how you change the course of your life.
Yes.
Becoming what you want, becoming what you are seeking. You have to be in alignment in your body, not just wanting it in your mind.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You get what you be.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I love, just want to highlight, you've spoken about it as a theme here, about this place of peace that does mm-hmm. exist within us, and that we tend to think, okay, I will be happy, I will be peaceful, I will be joyful when this right. happens on the external. And we can mm-hmm. live an entire lifetime and many lifetimes with, okay, when I'll be this, when. And right. you're saying we come back to the truth that within our deepest soul, within us, there is this place of eternal peace and calm. And when we live there, or visit at least, not that we're there necessarily all the time, we will usually, you know, eventually see as within, so without, the external matching that. But it's about us. It's about who we are becoming and what energy we are tuning into within ourselves. It's not right. about the external. I often say to people I work with, just don't pay attention to the external. And we were never told that, right? If we were, you know, daydreaming as kids, we would be maybe chastised, but don't pay too much attention to the external. It's just temporary. It's always shifting. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to the energy you are carrying. What right. is, yeah, what is the vibration you are sending out?
Yeah, because that's where your ultimate freedom lies. Is
yes.
that you can choose that. And when you choose to come from that place of peace or love or generosity or kindness, you become it, and the universe can't help but give it back to you tenfold.
Yes. And as you said, this is our freedom and this is our power. This mm-hmm. is our power when we are in that alignment with who we really are at our soul essence is peace and joy and love.
Right.
And, you know, the human experience can bring up a lot of fear for the egoic mind. And so I'm just curious, because I love just asking like really practicalities about this. If fear does come up for you in your human aspect, how do you move through that? Or how do you kind of move back to that place of peace?
Well, fear for me happens all the time. It's not a thing that I just don't have at all in my life. I mean, I have three little kids. So just that alone is, you know, I often have fear over, you know, just things relating to them and them being in the world and them being out of my sight at school or, you know, but I don't avoid it. It's there and it's present and I face it. Really, I think is what I do. I don't suppress it or hide it or run from it. I just say, you know, why am I experiencing this fear? What am I actually afraid of? And can I control the outcome? Do I have the power to make sure that this thing that I'm afraid of doesn't happen? If the answer is no, then I'm not going to waste my time worrying about it, because, you know, it's like, if somebody gave you $100,000 and said, here, I want you to go ahead and buy anything you want to furnish your home, your brand new beautiful home that's empty. You can have $100,000 to go furnish your home. But the only requirement is that you have to buy all things that you hate. Mm. And you would say, well, why would I ever do that? It's like in this lifetime, our thoughts, they are our currency. So they are what we have to spend. They are our most valuable. Our time here is our currency. And I'm not going to spend my currency filling my mind, my home, with things I hate, because it would be like living in a place full of furnishings and furniture and artwork that I hate. And I don't want to live like that. So if I have a thought of fear, I understand that it's a thought and it can come and it can go, but I'm not going to dwell in a place full of things that I don't want, because, you know, thoughts are energy. And I don't want to have energy in my body, in my mind, in my home, in my life, full of fear and things that I have no say over. I want to live in a place of freedom from that. And so if I have things that come up that are fearing or fearful for me, I just face them. And if I can't control the probability or possibility of that happening, then I have to let it go, because I have no say over it anyway. So I'm not going to spend the time that I do have here, my currency, my time, my thoughts, I'm not going to spend it on things that I don't want.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I hear you saying is you don't suppress the fear when it comes up. You realize as a human, there is going to be fear that comes up. You're present with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. My computer battery is, I think I kicked my plug out and I didn't realize. So I have to plug that in a minute, because it just popped up and said, your battery's going to die. But no, that's exactly right. It's like, fear comes up. Everybody has fear. There's things that we fear all the time, but I just don't want to live in a place full of fear, because I understand that for every possible thing that could go wrong, there's the exact same probability that things could go right.
Yes.
So I'm just not going to live a life. And because I've lived it, I've lived in that place of fear for 3-4 years straight. And it was a really dark and lonely place to be. And I don't want to live there anymore. I want to live in the world of, you know, beauty and just enjoy each moment or each day. And of course I don't always do that. You know, like, of course I'm, you know, I have days where it's not so easy. And, you know, last week my son was sick. I really panic when my kids are sick. I'm not a doctor. And I often feel like I don't know what to do and I don't want to rush them to the doctor. And it's like, but that is like a momentary thing of like, okay, your son is sick. He's got an ear infection. He's got a runny nose. It's okay. Kids have those things, Serena. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I just have to have that moment of like, yeah, why am I getting all panicked? Yeah. And then I can calm it down. And then my energy calms down. My son calms down. We all feel better.
Yeah.
And I think it's really just about like creating the habit of not living in the place of where you don't want to be.
Yes. Yes. And it sounds like you honor it, and perhaps you feel the feeling, let it move through you, and then make a choice. Oh, I'm going to go back to the alignment and the orientation that I choose to be in. That look at all the things that could go right, rather than all the things that could go wrong.
Right, exactly. Like, I have a upcoming conference for one of my daughters, and she's having a little bit of a struggle in school. And when I first got the email from the teacher about some of the reading issues that she's having, I had this immediate panic and this like feeling of like, you know, just tightness in my chest. But then I just had to like sit with that for a moment and say,
yes,
you know, this little girl of mine is so strong and such a spitfire and so fierce. If there's anybody that could handle having an issue or a struggle with reading, it's her. And this might be what she signed up to experience.
Yes.
So
yes.
All I can do in this moment, until I'm at the meeting and find out what's going on, all I can do in this moment is be even more present for her and to be even more supportive of her and to not go to what if all these other things could be happening or going on or going wrong, or what if she has this problem or that problem? What if she does? I'm not going to be able to do anything about it right now. So I'm not going to live in that place of being afraid. Doesn't mean when I walk into the meeting, I won't be, because I will be, but right now I'm not. And that's because I ultimately have faith, truly. And I think that that's actually something I learned so strongly from Michael Singer and the surrender experiment, was like, when you have that connection to that divine within you and that place of peace, even, you know, something that is coming up that would be scary for some people, you can get to that place of knowing that whatever it is, it's going to be okay. Whether it's not what I want to hear or it is what I want to hear, it's going to be okay. I have the strength to get through it.
I'm so glad you brought up Michael A. Singer. He's one of my favorite authors. I love that book, The Surrender Experiment. It also really changed my life. And one of my favorite affirmations, I say it all the time, is I trust life.
Yeah.
I trust life.
I love that.
And it immediately brings me back to that peace inside of me, knowing, as you said, I signed up for this. This is for my highest and best, and it is for everyone else's highest and best. And we usually see that afterwards in some of our most searing, eviscerating human experiences. A few years out sometimes, or even, you know, a longer amount of time, we can see the gifts that it did bring.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think about that all the time, about how, like, I was reading something that Oprah had said, and I agreed with it so completely. And it was said something like, if you would have, like, you know, if you had a breakup and at the time you thought like, I'm never going to be happy now that I'm not with this person, he doesn't want to be with me anymore, or you lost that job that you thought was your dream job, or you had to move and you really didn't want to have to move. If in hindsight, you can look back at all those moments where you were so sure that that was the person you were meant to be with, or that was the job that you really needed. How many of us could say at this point in our lives, thank God we broke up. Like, I'm so grateful that job let me go, because that forced me to do this, and this is what I'm meant to be. I'm so happy I moved, because when I moved, all of these things happened in my life that were like, I can't imagine my life without them. It's like, how many times, and you know, I can say for myself, when I look back on relationships, if it ended in a bad breakup and I thought I was like devastated, like, I can tell you right now that I honestly say, thank God I didn't end up with that person, because I'm with now the love of my life. Not that there's anything wrong with the people before, but I love my husband, and I'm so happy I didn't stay with the wrong person, because I wouldn't have met the right one. And it's like, it's so often the case in our lives that we think like we know what's best for us, but, you know, there's something a lot bigger than us, thank God, that has our back and that is moving the pieces as they should be moved.
I know, right? It's just amazing. I love this phrase, the not knowing mind, just to try to inhabit that. My human mind, it's good for a lot of things and it's trying to protect me, but it doesn't know the big picture. It is not the universe flowing through me. And another favorite affirmation I use too is, what is mine will find me.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so true.
Yeah.
And it will keep it. If you have to keep walking down the same road and falling in the same hole, I mean, eventually you'll get to a point where you'll pick a different road And that's where everything you've been waiting for will find you. It will be there waiting for you. It's like sometimes we have to get out of our own way. And that's really what I had to do, was get out of my own way.
Yes. And because the thinking mind wants to force things at times, wants to make things happen, is impatient, is not really into divine timing.
Right.
And of course, we want to take the inspired action. It's not to say I'm just going to wait until everything finds me, but it's to say that what is mine will be there in divine timing. And I can rest easy in the hands of God around that.
Yeah, and I love that. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. It gives you permission as your human to be able to relax more. Because I think we do grow up in a culture that it's so much, oh, you've got to hustle and you've got to make things happen, and this is what success looks like, and this and that. And to just come back to that place of peace and, okay, I am going to take all my inspired actions. Absolutely. But I know what is mine will eventually show up in my life.
Yeah. And I think that, like, a lot of times people think that, sort of like surrendering or letting go is like on the opposite end of the spectrum of like creating or manifesting. But ultimately, they're just kind of like two different points on the same like circular continuum. It's like, you do have to get to it. Like, I think sometimes of the example of going to sleep, it's like when you're tired and you say, okay, I want to go to bed now. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. You have that moment of like, this is what I want. I want to go to sleep. So you're kind of like, this is what I am intending to do, is to go to sleep. This is my intention. This is what I'm desiring. But at some point you have to now surrender and allow. Otherwise, if you stay up, if you spend the whole night thinking, I want to go to sleep, I want to go to sleep, you're going to be chasing sleep. You're not going to be allowing it to now happen. So it's like, there's two things that have to happen. You have to set the intention and intend what you want, but then you have to also allow, which means, like you said, not chasing. It's now this is what I want. It's like, let go and now let God. Yes. I want sleep. So this is my intention. I'm going to go into bed. I'm going to turn off the lights. I'm going to take the steps necessary. But at some point you have to say, and now I'm going to let go. And that's when sleep will find you. Because if you don't let go, and if you don't allow, you're going to spend the whole night chasing it and you're never going to fall asleep. And it's like, that's such a simple metaphor, but it's so true for so much in our lives. We chase and we fight and we go after and we seek, but we ultimately need to let go.
Yes.
And I think that people don't get that. That's like the thing that I didn't get for so long. It's like, I'm going to manifest this. I'm going to put this on my vision board. I'm going to attract this. But those things are not going to happen if you're always coming from a place of, I want, I need. All the universe is going to respond to is your sense of lack. You don't have enough. Okay, so you don't have enough. So here's more of not enough. Mm-hmm. When it gets to a place of, and now I trust, now I let go, now I allow, that's when you're in harmony with receiving.
Yes, absolutely. So well said. And cultivating gratitude that, okay, yes, my human always wants more in a way. That's part of the fun of being down here on the planet. There's so many amazing things that we can want, but we can have gratitude for what is now, who I am now, where I'm at in my consciousness, and also excitement and gratitude for what may further unfold. But then we're not in that place of lack, or it's not good enough now.
Right. Yeah, I know. And I think that, like, one of the things that I had to really understand about sort of like letting go or just like allowing or not like always striving.
Yes.
Was that it's kind of like you can picture if somebody wants to make friends and, like, you know, you see like little kids playing in the street and somebody comes running up and is like, I want to make friends. You'd be like, you know, I'm going to run from this person because this is a lot. This is like, I don't want to be friends with this. This is a lot. And like, then you're chasing them. And it's like, you're going to be chasing your friends through the neighborhood, not understanding why they're not stopping to turn around and making friends with you. It's because that energy of like need, want is in direct opposition to the energy of receiving and allowing. Yes. and understanding that it's already on its way and it's all unfolding as it should. And all I have to do is sit back and allow. And I think that, yeah, it's definitely like a weird conundrum, like manifesting, chasing versus like allowing.
Yes. And it's a sort of a delicate balance of all of it. And it's a sophisticated orientation. And I think a lot of the divine feminine energy is this ability to do exactly what you've been talking about, is to, we are wonderful at holding the vision for ourselves and the planet, and then allowing and receiving as queens, really. This is what sort of how a queen would respond. A queen is not out there constantly striving and chasing, but she allows her abundance and her joy and peace to come in as she holds that peace and joy and abundance in her own energy.
Yeah, it's so true. And women really are incredible, because we create, you know, we have this like just magical, miraculous thing called a womb that can create life. And so if you don't believe in the power of the feminine divine, well, then it's like saying, I don't believe in life. I mean, the women are the creators, and they, it's so true. We do hold that space for that sort of that love and that joy. And one of the things I want to say about abundance really quickly is that abundance is one of the things I think people are desiring the most. You know, people will create, and I've created vision boards. I think they're great. People will believe that in order to attract abundance into their life, they must work really hard and save up their money, or, you know, chase after success, or go for the promotion or whatever. And I was actually taught that, you know, in keeping with the line of you don't get what you want, you get what you are, that abundance comes to those that live from the place of knowing that we live in a limitless universe, and having awe at that and holding reverence for that. And that's being in harmony with abundance. Being in harmony with abundance is having the awareness and living from that place of awe that we really have a limitless universe. And that is an abundant mindset. An abundant mindset is not, I don't have enough and I need to work harder to get this, and I'm gonna save my money because if I don't, I'm not gonna have this. That is a scarcity mindset. And to attract abundance into your life is not about putting the Mercedes and the yacht and the dollar signs on your vision board. It's about transforming your thinking so that the energy you carry is one of abundant mentality, which is there's more than enough to go around. There is endless opportunities for income, finances to find me. The universe is full of everything that we need, and I am in line and in harmony with that. I don't have to withhold from anyone else, because abundance flows to me and through me. And if I give it away, it will always come back. And it's not just thinking that or one, it's really believing that. And I really understand how odd that is and how foreign that is. Like my husband, he doesn't have that same, like he tries to, but for him, it's more like, you know, no, we need to like budget this and you know, spend this. And I agree with him. It's smart to have a budget and to have, you know, goals and what you're saving or spending or that kind of thing. But I have said to him before, but I also don't have fear, Matt, because the universe has always had my back. Even when I thought it had forgotten me, even when I thought I was nobody and worthless and that all this bad stuff was happening in my life because I was bad and I felt ashamed of myself and I felt ashamed of who I had become, even in that time, the universe had my back and I just forgot. And now that I remember, I'm never going to live from that place of scarcity mentality again, because the universe is going to always have my back. Yes. And I'm not going to be afraid of finances. I'm not going to be afraid of money, because that's putting out there that there's not enough to go around. I need to hoard mine and squirrel it away and not share it or be generous to others, because if I do that, I'll have less. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to live from the abundant mentality, which is that it's always coming to me. And if I give it away, it's going to come back to me more, and I'll keep doing that. And there's more than enough to go around. And
absolutely. And I'm so sorry. I want to keep talking. Everything you're saying is just drop the mic moments, golden nuggets. And what you're saying is it's us. It's our energy that is the most important thing to really work with and sit in. And that's how, as within, so without. And I think we're just going to wrap up here. And I'm just so grateful to Serena Dyer for her amazing presence and her teachings on the show, and so grateful to our listeners. And please check out Serena's amazing book, The Knowing, co-authored with her sister Sage. And for more information about me, please visit my website, Dr. Tassel, drtassel.com. I have a wonderful metamorphosis journey coming up if you want more information about that. And we will see you next time with the amazing Dr. Joe Vitale. And to your amazing metamorphosis, trust the unseen, lead with your magic, and experience quantum leaps. So much love to everybody.
Thank you for joining Dr. Tassel Faith, Priestess of Metamorphosis, on your road to transformation and freedom. Each step takes you closer to becoming an awakened, empowered, courageous, and a moves mountains kind of person. Join us again the second and fourth Wednesday of each month at 12 noon Eastern Time for more guidance and encouragement. Until then, lead with your magic, trust the unseen, experience quantum leaps.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.